Thank you, Steve. Before I throw it to you, Bill, I would like to say that there are about 10 listeners that said boy and girl twins cannot be identical. Can people tell when we're kidding?
I didn't think you were kidding when you said that, Wendy.
We know that if you're truly an identical
twin. Do you mean that
twin,
sincerely, Steve?
I did. I missed it. I'm sorry.
You have to either both be boys or both be girls.
Yeah. That's the way. Identical twins is when the egg splits and it's identical.
Right.
The other one is when two little eggs come down the hoop and go into the uterus.
Fraternal, although I think
are.
If it's girls, sororal would be more correct, but that's just me. I could be wrong. You know who's here is Kenny Rogerson. Kenny is a stand-up comic, and Kenny, I'm not saying this because you're here, but when I did stand-up, I saw different comics every week. You were and still are one of the best club comics anywhere in the country. You really are. And you're at Zany's for the rest of this
still
week. How
working.
Are you?
I'm good. You know, as I told someone, you know, it's an art form in itself to be doing this 38 years and be totally unknown. I should have been it's hard to do. I should have been a cat burglar or a serial killer. Somewhere anonymity is a plus.
Right.
You know?
No, you chose show business.
What did he look like? I don't know.
He was
the
here.
Average guy, soft-spoken.
Now, here's a nice twist in your life. When I worked with you, it was at Who's On First in Elmhurst, and it was about 25, 26 years ago.
Yes.
You would do a thing where you would go up on stage, and you would do about an hour's worth of show, and you would bring a bottle of something.
Probably tequila. I was
a lot of times
tequila.
Cuervo Gold?
Whatever they had.
Oh.
A lot of times it was Pepe Lopez or any whatever.
Just the house.
Listen, it was free. You don't go, is this all you have for free? You know, at those points, when you're 22, you go, this is a good tequila, isn't
sure.
it? Pepe Lopez?
Sure. But you would go up on stage with a bottle of some alcohol, like you said, usually tequila.
Yeah.
You would drink that, and then throughout the show, people would continuously buy you shots. And I was amazed that, number one, You're still alive today. I didn't see that coming. I'm shocked that you're still
Neither
alive.
Neither did I.
But it was amazing. You would still function and still be really, really funny.
Yeah, that was part of the problem. You know, I could still function and still be really funny. For me, at the times, it was like, okay, how messed up can I become and still pull this off? That was part of the challenge.
Really?
It really was. And it was just, it was a sickness.
Were you scared when you gave up drinking that you wouldn't be able to pull it off, or you were confident enough to know
No, it was scary. It was scary because I'd never done it before. And I always had a cigarette in one hand and a drink in the other. And when I stopped doing both of those, I go, what do I do with my hands now? And I still now, to this day, I have a bottle of water, and that's my cigarette. And I do a joke, and I'll kind of take a drink of water. I'll mess around with this. I have to have something to fiddle with.
Sure.
The
well, there's options, but some of them are not pleasant. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah.
You get stopped a lot of those.
Yes, he quit drinking and smoking, but look what he does now.
They call it
Is
a one-man legal? Show. You know that.
One-man show.
Shouldn't we be getting tokens for this?
So there was.
Hey, I'm in the front row.
It's not like Gallagher, is it?
Yeah,
this
right.
is worse.
Oh, Bill.
No, at some point though, you made an effort. You said, "I got to stop this."
It was a long effort. I started in '83. It was the first time I tried to get sober, but I had no friends. I mean, literally, I didn't know anybody who didn't do drugs and drink.
Really?
People I knew in business were doing blow.
Yeah.
And drinking. You know, and all my football buddies from high school and all the comics, every comic. In Boston in those days was like I didn't know anybody to hang around with that wasn't you could meet people if you went to a meeting or something
sure.
but I didn't find them anywhere near as fun as the people I'd been hanging out with,
and there was no internet to get up like blanddating.com
there was nothing so it was a long I made that 11 months and then that went off for a while, and then I met this flight attendant who I was still crazy about, and I really tried to stop. And that's when you know you have a problem, when you're not having fun at it anymore and you're still doing it.
Yeah.
Like I'm not smoking cigarettes. I go, why am I smoking this? This is disgusting. I'm not even enjoying it. I used to run. I used to love going off like a 6 mile run and then lighting up and smoking. It was the best one of the day. Oh, because your blood is all wide open.
Sure.
It just shoots right through you.
And you earned it.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
that's
you work
exactly
out,
right.
You have a smoke.
See that? I don't have a problem.
Best one ever.
I work out every day.
Were the guys who were your friends, were they encouraging to you to stop, or did they say, no, you're not part of the game anymore?
No, that's exactly right. Well, the first time I quit, my best friends were like, they treated me like, what, you know, can't hang around with us? I go, I'm trying not to drink, man. I don't want to live in this place where you guys all drink. We have a tank of nitrous oxide in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, I live with a bunch of guys at a place called The Barracks in Boston. And it was like every comic had a key to it. Paul Kelly, came out here, and Danny Stewart came out to Boston, and Danny was in a cab one time. He comes up, pulls the radio, goes, "Oh man, I lost the key." And the cab driver goes, "Don't worry, I got one." He was a friend of ours who drove cab. He just happened to get him.
Wow.
So yeah,
the thing is, you kept trying. I mean,
it
quitting
took me
smoking,
29
drinking.
Years to finally get off the cocaine and the booze, but I'm no quitter. But it was
difficult.
You go for a while and then you'd fall apart, and then you'd go for a while and you'd fall apart, and then finally one day I finally got it, and that was coming up on 11 years, I think. I don't know. I don't keep track.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good,
it's kind of a miracle. I'm not a big religious guy, but I go, this is definitely, somebody's definitely been watching me. I don't know who or what it is, but I think maybe they just have the one client.
Maybe that could be it.
Or they pay really close attention, or I'm their only guy. Like Clarence.
From It's Wonderful Life?
It's Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Are there periods that you just flat out don't remember? Did it ever get to that?
There are decades I flat out don't.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. There's times. I was trying to write a book, and I remember just about all the Chicago stuff, because that was a little, that wasn't the hard narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. And that, when I got to the 80s and I got into certain things, I went, oh, man, this is bringing up a lot of horrible, like watching the movie Blow, or even worse was, what was the movie about the crack dealer? Why can't I think of it?
Mary Poppins?
Not Scarface.
No, not the movie, the TV show, Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That I couldn't watch because it built up so much anxiety.
I bet it did.
The lying and the trying to move around. He wasn't even a drug addict. He was just selling it. But you go, oh, God, yeah, you did that. You lied to this one to try to get more drugs from this. Oh, it was just horrible.
Talk about anxiety. That's what gave it to you, huh?
Yeah. It really did. It really did. Just trying to move in that. You've just lied to this girl, and now you're lying to your parents. Oh, it was a nightmare.
What about career-wise, because from the week that you and I worked together, and like I said, it was a long time ago, it was 25 years ago, but your persona was that guy. It was the I'll do anything, I'll drink, I'll drug it up.
Drink first and ask questions later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you...
That was what was going on, though, at the time.
Well, you know, the thing is, and I've talked to friends of mine, they're sober, look, we were addictive personalities, and every wrong impulse was totally rewarded. You know, you drank too much, here's some free booze. You like Coke, here's some free business.
Right.
You met women, every wrong impulse was totally backed up because they didn't care. As long as you came in and were funny, they'd give you free stuff. So,
isn't that something?
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
There was a club, and I won't say where it is. It's not far. It's in the Midwest. That when the week was over, they wanted to pay the other comic and I in cocaine.
Yeah, there was a couple
what?
Of guys. That
yeah.
A guy in Florida tried to do that, too.
Yeah.
And I'd go, give me my money. I can buy my own cocaine.
Okay, but wait, Bill, you've never done cocaine, so why would he even think to pay you in that?
He could have paid me in Count Chocula. That would have made sense. But he brought us into the office. We go into the office, and he's got the money on the desk. He goes, you can have this. And he opens up a drawer and holds it up, and he goes, or you can have this.
Right.
And the other comic and I looked at each other. We go, we'll go with door number one.
There were that
one.
Many comics that were doing blow.
Jeez.
That some guys would take the payoff in snow.
Yeah.
And I never did. I go, first of all, I don't know you.
Right.
You know, I
right.
know guys. I know professional dealers.
Right. Exactly.
I know
use your own
who
money.
Just rode this ashore. I'm going to take your Iowa cocaine. Well, that hasn't been stepped on.
Let's take a quick break. Kenny Rogerson is here. Go see him. If you haven't seen Kenny, you need to see him. He's at Zany's in Chicago. That's tonight and tomorrow. Well,
God, the whole month of February, 16, pretty much.
17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 23. Zany's in Rosemont, the 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th. Zany's.com has the complete schedule.
Yeah.
That's your best bet. We'll be back in a minute. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Now I'm hungry. Kenny Rogerson is here. He's appearing at Zany's in Chicago this week. Zany's in Rosemont next week. Go to Zany's.com for information. You started in Boston.
I started here.
Did you start here?
I started here. The first time on stage was a place called Sylvester's.
Where was that?
That was down on like Belmont and Lincoln, I think. It's going back to 70, whatever.
What do you remember about that?
I'll tell you what I remember. Here's how old I am. It was a converted Esso station.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was
sure.
Esso. Not Exxon, Esso.
Well, Esso had the best sight lines of any of,
of all
filling
the comedy
stations.
Club. Of all your filling station comedy.
Yep.
They could have been big. Had they not branched off into oil, I think they would have been the best. Bigger than the Improv.
Way bigger than the Improv. Yeah.
I started here. That was my first. I did that once, and then I didn't go back for another year. And then it came a friend of mine named Kyle T. Hefner, who's been on a bunch of actors, he's been on a bunch of stuff. But anyway, he said, you should come down to Zany's and do open mic night. And I came down. This guy, Jim Fay, who was second
I know
city.
Jim. Yeah. Remember Jim, yeah.
He was hosting, and I would sign up, and every time I was on last. And I would fear it all week long. I'd be sick to my stomach going, God, I hope it snows. I don't want to go up there. It was so frightening. I did not want to go up there. Really, without tequila, I would have never gone up.
And if you were last, you were just drinking and waiting for your turn.
Yeah. Also, you went from 150 people to the wait staff and the two comics.
Yeah.
And I run the room in with Jim. We were roommates for a while. I go, why did you do that to me? He goes, well, you know, I thought you had something. I just wanted to see if you really wanted it. I go, well, that's really sweet of you, but you could have put me on the middle once or twice.
Just for fun.
Still let me bomb every time.
But think about the dichotomy of being sick to your stomach about going up to perform, but still having the yearning to do it at the same time.
Yeah, it was. It took a year after Sylvester's, but yeah, I'd go down there, and it would be all day, all week long. I was parking cars in Evanston in the garage, and I'd be going, oh, God, I hope it snows this weekend. I don't want to do it. And one time, my friend Bill goes, are you going to go? I go, oh, you know, I don't really have a ride. He goes, I'll give you one. I went,
curses for
having friends.
But was that just excitement to get on stage? I know you said
no,
you're sick
to your
stomach. No,
it was total fear. Total fear. Really? There's no worse feel. I can't watch open mic nights to this day because it breaks my heart, because I can feel that feeling when you're just dying and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then you get one laugh and you think, oh, I've got them. And rather than bailing out, you stay too long at the fair because you think you're going to start rolling and it just dies even worse. You get that one laugh and you think, oh, I'm on a roll
right now.
And it just goes down. You know, it goes down, down, down.
I was always I used to go to the Comedy Womb in Lyons to see my friend Carla Felicia perform open mic nights. Free pizzas on Thursdays. And even when somebody wasn't funny, I would always have to laugh and clap because I just felt like I needed to do that.
It's not a good feeling. Even to this day, I've been doing this 30 whatever years now. If it doesn't go over, it's no fun. I don't take it, but I still go, oh, really? It's still just that. You still want it to be the best you can be, but...
But that's good,
you
though.
You reach a certain... Yeah.
Isn't it?
I don't ever want to become complacent.
Right.
You know? I know people that go, really? You haven't changed the word of your act in 30 years. It's in the same order.
Right.
You breathe in the same spots. You know, mix up the breath. You know, modulate. Do something different. But really, I go, to me, that's like working at a factory. And I've got probably... I don't know. I try to, every time I come out, I've got 10 or something new minutes, and I go, oh, I don't have enough stuff. Ah, they've seen, I've been doing, some stuff you've been doing, and especially you're doing cruise ships.
Sure.
And you're doing shows for children. So it's like, who has a cat? And every time I say that, a piece of my comedy soul just drops out onto the stage. If you listen with the right kind of ears, you can hear plunk.
Have you done shows just for kids, exclusively for kids?
Not just for kids, but strollers and babies and children in the room. On Carnival Cruise Lines.
There's a family show.
It's family right. friendly.
But the funny thing is, having worked with you, and again, it was a long time ago, I can't envision your show being played for 5 and 6 and 7 year olds. It doesn't.
Believe me, I'm pulling out stuff that I used in 19. Who has a cat? Cat and dog stuff.
That stuff,
stuff about Disney World. I go, this is like 30 years old. But you know, everybody's out there now. I was in a hotel in Florida, and I ran to my friend Lowell Sanders, and he goes, let's have dinner. And we sit down, and 2 minutes later, around the corner comes Bruce Smirnoff and John Campanera.
Yeah.
Who I hadn't seen in 10 years. So I go, oh, well, are any of us on the same ship? No.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Right, right.
Because
right.
It's the tedium that kills you in those things and the 20-hour travel days.
Yeah. It's not as glamorous as you would think.
No.
It isn't.
You don't get time to hang by the pool and lay out and stuff?
You know, the thing is, you can. I find that boring. I've never been like a big beach guy, unless there was a volleyball or a football game where there was body surfing or something, just sitting there. When I was drinking, sure, I could do that anywhere.
Yeah.
But, pass out.
And once they've seen your show, now you're on a ship with them. They just want to talk to you.
Sure.
And
so that's weird, isn't it?
They don't mean anything by it. Yeah, and I've never been like a fame guy. I never really cared about the notoriety, the money I wanted, but I didn't realize that I had a lot of it. I didn't realize that came hand in hand. But and they ask you the same question. They don't mean anything by it, but
right.
Yeah, I write my own material. No, I don't have a team of writers sitting at home to come up with that cat and dog bit. I've overpaid that guy, I gotta tell you.
Some of the best writers in the land crafted that for you. I know that for a fact,
right.
Kenny. Come on.
Has it changed for you? And Bill, you're not doing stand up anymore, but I know a lot of times you guys would have a big old loose leaf and write down some of your material and stuff. Do you do it on a computer now?
No.
Do you save files or do you still do the old school?
I haven't really written that much. Yeah, I know. I still write it on a notebook.
Yeah.
You know, for me seeing it visually. And then I might type up a set later if I was doing like Last Comic Standing I did a couple years ago, or if I'm doing a Conan, and I'll type it up and you know, just so I know the next, if I do it another time, which hasn't happened, but I'll know what I did that first time. You know, like I used to do charities with Dennis Leary every year, and I'd go, God, like, what did I do last year? And they'd go, well, no one's going to remember. I go, I'm not sure.
You would know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. My friend Lenny Clark and I said one time, we're doing Dennis.
Love him.
Thing. Yeah. He said, we're doing this hockey arena. I go, let's write 5 new minutes. This is like our 10th year doing it. Let's both write 5. He goes, all right. So I sit down and I'm writing. I'm thinking of things. And I'm writing and go, this is funny. This is really good. This is really coming out almost too easy. But I go, this is really good. So I get in the limo with him. He goes, what do you got? I start reading. He goes, yeah, that's mine. I
went, oh, no.
No wonder it seemed good. It was flowing out of my pen. So I go, that's right. It's your old bit. I forgot about that.
Oh, no. That's not
going
to work.
I go, what do you got? And I go, well, that's Don's and that's mine. He goes, ah, forget. Let's just keep doing our same stuff.
So oh,
totally
no.
Bailed on it.
What do you do when life gets weirder than art? And I will use the current presidential campaign. It's like shooting ducks in a barrel, isn't it?
You know, I don't do a lot of political humor because they anger me so much.
Do they?
You know,
yeah.
Like Louis Black has a way of turning his anger into funny. Me, I just want to slap them all. I really do. If you know, those debates are so hideous.
Yeah.
It's and like, you're not going to change anyone's mind.
No, you're not. No one, George Carlin said, no one's ever changed anybody's mind politically from that 12 p.m. spot at the store. You know?
Yeah.
Lenny Bruce changed nothing other than we could all swear on stage. Yeah. He didn't change anything politically all that much. You know, there's this, it takes a slow thing. But I watched the Republican debates. I haven't watched the Democratic ones because I don't know who I'm going for there. But the Republican ones, I go, this is like watching seventh graders argue.
It's just mean.
You're a liar. No, you're a liar.
Right.
You know, it's like,
that's
really?
What it is.
You know?
I and just I'm, wait for all of them to
I'm
just slap
make
each
the,
other.
I'll make, they'll build the wall and make the Mexicans pay for it. Well, could you tell me how you're going to do that? That's what I'd like
it's
to
impossible.
Because if you've got a plan, I'd like to hear it. But, you know, that listen, the Chinese built the wall. Pretty good Iceland. I think the Mongols invaded them at some point, went right over them. Yeah, that was a nice wall you put up. We're camping there now.
It is like grade school. When I ran for class president, I said, you know, oh, I'm going to put a candy machine in the cafeteria. You just say these things and no one's going to hold you to it. That's what it sounds
I know.
Like.
And no one, and they're really not debates. They're just give us your talking points and you give us your talking points.
Sure.
No one debates. It's not like, you know.
It's terrible.
It's not like Lincoln and whoever. It's just,
Stephen Douglas.
Stephen Douglas, thank you.
You're welcome.
Goodness. Has just, anyone ever...
History class Stern. Just paid off I'm for just, me, finally.
I'm just reading a team of rivals, so I'm trying to think.
What about people stealing your material? That's all in the news now. Comedians are stealing from other comedians. Has that happened to you?
It's happened to... Every time I go to a town, something stays there. Yeah, there's no way to fight it.
It's sad.
There's, but that I know the guy you're talking about on the internet. I go, first of all, the jokes he stole, I didn't think were that funny. And, you know, here's the thing. There's a thing now called Periscope someone was telling me about where kids just, it's like Rupert Pupkin. They just stand in the living room and talk into their phone.
A live streaming
and it goes
things.
Out on live stream and go, that's not real comedy. You realize that, right? Talking to your phone, you're not really a stand-up.
No, I know.
You know, yeah, but people come to the show and see him. I go, and you people are fools because there's no way this guy's got an hour of material that's interesting.
Right. Of you course. Know? Of you course. Know? Great to see you again.
Nice, and I'm to,
so
meet
glad,
you.
Nice to meet
you.
Nice to meet
you. I told you.
I know.
You do not disappoint, Kenny. You,
oh, thanks,
you never do.
Man.
Go see Kenny Rogerson at Zany's in Town here in Chicago this week and then Zany's in Rosemont next week. You will not be disappointed at Zany's.com for all your information. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.